Welcome to A Culture of Innovation. We interview exceptional leaders who embrace and demonstrate innovation. Hear their stories and listen as we explore turning ideas into tangible ways to create value and cultivate innovation as a way of life. Listen and be inspired as an innovative leader. Together, we shape culture and change the world. Culture of Innovation is brought to you by Ridge Innovative, where we practice innovation with a purpose to help companies use technology and breakthrough strategies to achieve business outcomes. And I'm your host, Nancy Ridge. And today, please welcome our very special guest, Will Yaffe. Welcome, Will.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks for having me.
So excited to have you here. And of course, this is actually your second time at Culture of Innovation, which distinguishes you because you're the only guest that we've had so far twice.
Oh, but
That's because we have a lot of great things to talk about. And I want to just acquaint our listeners a little bit with who you are and a little bit about Tidwit, if I may. So Will Yaffe is the founder and CEO of Tidwit. He brings more than 30 years of experience in knowledge management, alliances, and ecosystems. Will founded Tidwit with the strong belief that healthy partnerships are the core of any ecosystem. Tidwit's award-winning ecosystem platform was conceived to co-enable enterprises at unprecedented scale. Tidwit's customers now span the globe, among whom are organizations such as Microsoft, Amazon, IBM, PwC, Accenture, Verizon, and Adobe. Just a few little companies there, Will. Will's work has taken him to five continents, launching enablement and learning initiatives and certification programs. And recently, Will launched the Tidwit Foundation to learn from and help natural ecosystems thrive. Will holds a master's in public administration and development from Harvard and an MBA from George Mason University. And in his free time, there is that, Will writes and travels. So again, so glad to have you here, Will. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
And I would like to also just acquaint our listeners a little bit with Tidwit, if they're not familiar. It is an ecosystem network, and it enables organizations to connect more easily to each other so they can share knowledge and content. This platform helps users to access sales, marketing, and enablement materials from their most important vendors directly into their own domains. And we'll get into why that's so breakthrough in a few minutes. There was a report that was published. It's published annually now, called The State of Partner Operations and Programs. And in their research, I thought it really related very well to what Tidwit does. It says, while models shift to ecosystems, the partner tech stack is still a work in progress. Older channel technology was built for the traditional channel. Newer partner technologies are still relatively immature products. The category as a whole lacks robust APIs and integrations, which, by the way, are very complex and expensive to manage, yet essential when trying to share data across so many partners and internal departments. So this is where Tidwit solves. It's a new paradigm. It uploads the materials directly into the learning systems. And that's the key, I believe. It makes it very easy for users to get to that data and for administrators to see what is happening on those journeys. If it's in their domain, they're more likely to be engaged, which is what we're seeking. So, Will, why are organizations like Adobe, AWS, and PwC expanding their commitment to the Tidwit platform strategy? And what are some of the most important milestones they've achieved?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the introduction. And great, you know, the quote that you cited was great. And I think it basically hits the nail right on the head with respect to some of the pain points that organizations have. And it's, you know, that term engagement is a key one. There's so much technology out there that, you know, everybody's trying to jostle for, you know, kind of their messaging, their technology, their solutions, et cetera. And how do you, you know, kind of rise above the fray, so to speak? And mm-hmm. I guess years ago, the way to do it is people started pitching, hey, I've got my partner portal, right? And the other one would say, hey, me too. I've got my partner portal. And others, over time, there were just too many partner portals. So then the next thing that came out was like, I can offer better experience than the other guy. And then the next guy said, hey, I can offer better experience. And so in this constant jostle to try and engage your partners, your alliances much better, I think the main conclusion that a lot of these organizations reached is that the best way to engage with these partner organizations is to do it on their own terms, within their own systems, because that's where their people are. Right. If you want to engage a few dozen people, sure, bring them over, right, to my platform, to my portal. But if you want to engage the 50,000 employees of that organization, well, what better place to do it than within their own environments? Now, once that kind of, once that became apparent, the next step was, okay, so how do we do it? And really there were, the main kind of thrust initially was, let's do it via API, what we call point-to-point integrations. I'll integrate directly with you. Well, that would work if you just have one or two partnerships, right? But a lot of these large organizations that you mentioned, such as, Microsoft, Adobe, AWS, have hundreds of thousands of partnerships. So how do they, there's just no way they could do it point-to-point. That is when ecosystems and ecosystem platforms come into play. What they're looking to do is they're looking to essentially be able to put a layer in place, which is an ecosystem platform, that allows these partner organizations to connect much more easily, much more quickly, much more dynamically into their own backends, into their own environments. And by doing so, you can engage at scales unprecedented. So you're no longer basically engaging with one or two or 10 people within that organization. At this point, you're really engaging with 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 of their, whoever is within their walls, you're engaging with them. And you're doing it through those ecosystem connections that would have been established. So we can talk a little bit more about that, if you'd like. But one last point I would like to say here is the main attraction for a lot of these organizations is the fact that they can now do it as a one-to-many, and it's not a point.
Yes.
They connect once to their own, they launch a learning ecosystem, for example, and then from that point on, they would have joined that network that allows them to basically connect to anybody else that they want to without really needing to lift a finger. So it makes the entire thing first scales a lot. It saves them a lot of resources, a lot of time, and it provides unprecedented engagement to their partners.
Thank you. And yes, I think you've hit on a real sweet spot there as well, that it's not about logging into multiple portals and having to learn and understand how each one of those portals operate, or even just remember all the login information for it. You're not only just looking at scale, but you're looking at ease of access.
100%. And there's nothing easier in terms of access than accessing the same systems that you've always been accessing.
Mm-hmm.
But those systems are now being fed by, this set of alliances that you've established, of partnerships, of course, and that can feed you all the knowledge that you need in order to be able to drive your business.
That kind of leads that really leads to my next question, because I think it's right on point. Again, going back to the studies, there's been so many done in this area, including the research that my co-author Norma Wattenpau and I did, that partners are citing training, specialization, and certification is their top priority from vendors. And on the vendor side, they know that partners who have specializations and certifications deliver a better customer experience. And just this week, I heard Microsoft's chief partner officer say, and I quote, "Training and enablement are number one for success." Yet it's increasingly complex and time-consuming for these partners to access and consume this content that they need. So can you just go a little bit deeper in how Tidwit solves for that, Will?
Sure. So the simple term for what I think you were referring to Microsoft's Nicole Deason. And
yes.
Basically, yeah, well, the term that we like to use is driving revenue readiness, right? I mean, the ultimate objective of a lot of the partners is to, you know, is not to certify their people for certification, you know, sake, but rather to certify them because they're trying to accomplish a certain set of objectives, which is, you know, driving higher levels of engagement with the customers, which obviously have a direct and proportional effect on revenue. So it's driving revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That is what Nicole is referring to.
Yes, now, good customer experience leads to revenue. Exactly.
100%. And if the more qualified your people are, and you know, in certain sectors like government and healthcare, et cetera, if you don't present a certain set of credentials in terms of certification, you can't even make a bid or place a bid to win a certain business. And so there's a direct proportionality between how certified or ready you are and the business that you're able to attain. And so that is kind of the link, right? But then the question becomes, okay, so now we know what the objective is, and now we know what we need to get there. So how can we become, you know, how can we scale up this certification, you know, kind of in a way that allows our organization to not, you know, take 3 or 4 years to get to where it needs to be, but rather in a fairly short amount of time. Mm-hmm. That is where Tidwit comes in, and where, you know, customers come to us and say, listen, we know that you, part of your network, for example, you've got, you know, a Microsoft or an AWS or an Adobe. We really need to plug into these guys at scale. And we need to be able to have end-to-end visibility, which we can talk about later on in terms of reporting, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But this entire end-to-end process of skilling from setting the goals to launching the campaigns to doing, for example, this multi-alliance type of learning initiatives, even to such things as distributing vouchers for exam certification, all that becomes very complex if mm-hmm. you're trying to do it the traditional old-fashioned way. Mm-hmm. The ecosystem, you know, the ecosystem platform, such as Tidwit, could automate almost end-to-end the process whilst providing real-time visibility to a COO or the head of the human resources, et cetera.
All the stakeholders that are now involved in this.
Exactly. They can give them essentially an end-to-end view of, or a funnel, if you will,
mm-hmm.
of how ready their people are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a very quick example here. If you're a COO and you have, for example, you're trying to sign a deal, let's say, between your organization and let's say an Adobe, right? You're going to mm-hmm. sit there and you're going to say, okay, we're going to commit to about $1 billion worth of revenue for, say, 2025. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So that's kind of, and in, you know, in exchange for this, you're going to get all of these benefits, right? Okay, great. So I'm the COO. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, how ready are my people? I go to my HR guy and I say, hey, you know, how ready are we as an organization? We go back to our HR tools. Well, guess what? Our HR tools are not connected to the backends of Adobe. I don't really know how many people mm-hmm. are ready. Maybe I might have some certification data, but that's kind of choppy. I don't really have all of that.
Yeah.
That's on whether they're certified or not.
Right. And privacy laws have made it even more difficult to see that information.
100%. And then mm-hmm. the other problem is, okay, let's say I have some of the certification data. Let's say I do. But, you know, I still have 0 to 100% of, you know, that of potential certification. Maybe some people are 80% there. Maybe some people are 50. Maybe mm-hmm. some people are 20. Maybe some people are 90. How do I find out, you know, just by looking at it, how ready my organization is to make that $1 billion commitment? That is what an ecosystem platform such as Tidwit, you know, as it pertains to skilling and certification, can actually help them accomplish. It can not only automate the entire process, but give them real-time visibility of the entire certification funnel that will drive readiness or, you know, their commitment to those kinds of deals.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the big focuses, of course, at Tidwit is that content, that readiness, revenue readiness, and an enablement. But now I want to kind of transition into what is really the hottest topic on the street right now, which is how is AI changing that? And What opportunities do you see across verticals and partner segments?
So AI is being seen from different perspectives as it pertains to skilling. You know, on the content creation side, you know, how can I automate my content creation and stuff like that? In some element, in other elements, it's being seen for metrics. You know, we're looking at AI from also, you know, apart from these two areas, we're looking at it from a third perspective, which is, you know, how can AI shortcut a certification, not by eliminating the necessary learnings, but rather helping some of the partially certified people get certified, you know, the rest of the way. Let me give you an example. If, for example, you know, most of these organizations you highlighted maybe earlier on in the podcast, you mentioned Accentures and you mentioned, you know, some of the guys that are already on Tidwit, but many of them, you know, GSIs and some other types of organizations who may or may not be on Tidwit. Well, those guys have high levels of qualifications, but what is a high level of qualification? You know, there could be quote marks around that, right?
And, right.
And so they might be partially there, or they might have, you know, gotten a certification a year or two ago from, let's say, on Azure or Azure Fundamentals or something like that. And they just need to understand the, you know, or know the delta or the difference with what else they need over what's happened over the past 6 months or whatever to get the new certification. That will shortcut a huge amount of time for these resources that are typically, you know, billable, right? So you don't want to be wasting time having them do the certifications or the learnings all over again, which could be dozens and dozens of hours. So how can AI help in that regard? Well, AI can help, can actually help them, you know, shortcut those learnings by taking them straight to what they're missing, as opposed to needing to do everything from A to Z. They'll just do, you know, from Y to Z because they already know everything from A to Y. That's another area of AI that has, you know, direct implications on readiness that can, you know, kind of reduce the time, speed up the certification process, and make these resources, these billable resources, you know, revenue ready quicker. That's that's one of the other elements of AI that we're seeing across, you know, the different workloads. But as I mentioned, there's others, you know, in the creation of content, in the metrics. There's a lot of things that we're seeing AI could be applied over an ecosystem. One last thing I'll say on this topic of why AI and ecosystems are kind of a match made in heaven. There's another element here, which is each one of the organizations, you know, if you, for example, are a partner that partners, typically you're not going to partner with one shop, right? If you know, if particularly, you know, GSIs and some of the SIs, even some of the large sellers, et cetera, they typically will have partnerships with all the hyperscalers like Microsoft and AWS and Google and Adobe, et cetera. So what happens if each one of them has totally different exogenous AI that, you know, you're not really privy to or you can't access within your organization? Again, that cross-organizational interface with content and knowledge becomes very complex, very time-consuming, and you don't have visibility as to what your users, you know, are benefiting from. Well, what if an ecosystem could actually normalize AI across multiple providers? Well, that's what Tidwit does, right? The Tidwit ecosystem platform with its AI workload can normalize or standardize AI regardless of the vendor that you're actually accessing. So that's another key benefit that can also save time, save effort, save resources in terms of having to build your own stack and cut across providers so that you're now accessing their knowledge but using your AI. All of these are concepts that the Tidwit ecosystem AI is already basically delivering on.
I love it. I mean, that those are really key points. And, you know, and it seems like you know, we're looking at AI opening up so many other opportunities as well, including, you know, other workloads and use cases potentially for the Tidwit platform. Because after all, you know, Tidwit is a platform. We're talking about learning and enablement, which is, you know, a number one priority, but there's also more, you know, to come. So we recently discussed, for example, project management kind of being a natural for something like this. Can you talk a little bit about how the ecosystem model powered by AI could transform a workload like project management?
Yeah, this was purely accidental, Nancy. And what we, you know, we were kind of, our own, you know, organization and managing projects with some of our enterprise customers, we constantly obviously are managing projects and, you know, a lot of documentation and a lot of specs and engineering specs and, you know, just a lot of stuff that you have to sift through, you know, if you're part of the project, that typically you just have to, you know, pick up the phone or chat or, you know, Teams or whatever tool you use to kind of contact people to find out. Well, what we said is, okay, why don't we spin up a node, you know, between one of our largest SIs and us, that a customer basically, and us, and we're going to put a lot of the project information on there, and then we're going to layer it with AI, and we're going to see what happens. And it was an awesome result. I mean, what we started seeing, first, it's a closed-ended AI. So it's secure, it's private, it's walled off. Mm-hmm. So it's only between us and that customer, right? So mm-hmm. it's very private. And that what happens within this ecosystem node is they can access it, you know, from their organization through SSO, the project, mm-hmm. you know, members of that SI. And we can access it from our perspective with our SSO. It's just completely seamless because we're both on the same or accessing different, you know, the same node, but from different perspectives of the ecosystem. And then what we do is we start AIing, you know, we start kind of doing artificial intelligence over the knowledge that exists. Like, you know, what are the timeframes of this project? Who is leading this task? Who is the technical project manager? How can I contact? What's the best way I can contact? All this information was, you know, just came out like magic, right?
Amazing.
And it just became an awesome tool for us and them managing this. And so we said, you know what? That's one heck of a workload we're going to add on to the ecosystem. And we're going to, you know, we're going to layer AI on top. And so it was just, sometimes, you know, innovation happens accidentally. And this time it did, but it had an awesome, you know, positive effect.
Well, I think we're going to see more on that for sure. More on that topic for sure. It's coming. And, you know, I do love the idea, you know, that we're seeing how some of these big organizations are taking advantage of this technology. And you talked about, you know, spinning up a node. And I want to pause for a second, kind of double click on that, because I think that's a key element of how the ecosystem works, that it's nodal. And there's a lot of possibilities that come through that architecture itself. You know, for example, if you're working with highly regulated organizations, you know, this is a way that information can be safely and securely segmented and shared. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that too.
Oh, big time, big time. And I can give you an example. We're working now with a pharma. I mean, I know a lot of the cases we talk about is IT and kind of we started with industries like IT and telco, but increasingly we're starting to dip into other verticals. And pharma is a really interesting one because, as you probably know, it's so highly regulated that, you know, it's like, you know, Uncle Sam is just all over it for obvious reasons, right? Because it affects people's health and stuff like that. And so, let's say you're a pharma and you're trying to deliver knowledge to different communities, right? Like sales has a certain set of knowledge that they tap. And then maybe the doctors have a different set. And then maybe the pharmacies have a third set, right? And if you have, for example, a very monolithic kind of flat structure of you either access everything or you don't access anything, or it's very kind of old 1990s type of enterprise content management where every user has to get rights, et cetera, which means a lot of administration.
So all that
makes it really difficult for these communities to be established, be dynamic, and to be safe in their access of this knowledge. So how do nodes get into that? What the ecosystem architecture allows you is to spin up different nodes that could basically pertain to different communities. So you could say, okay, I'm going to spin up a node, which is a virtual node. It takes literally minutes. You spin it up.
I love that. Minutes. We're talking about minutes.
Minutes. I mean, you just, in a minute, you just spin up a node and you say, this is going to be the sales node. It's going to be accessed only by sales, right? And then you put the knowledge that pertains to sales there. And if you want, you could layer it with AI just for that node, just for sales, right? So any information they're getting is walled off from everything else, right? Whereas you could spin up a node for, let's say, accounting, finance, maybe, you know, the treasury or whatever. And that's just accessed by them and the CXOs, et cetera. And so they can, and you could layer it with AI on top if you wanted to, or
which would make sense because, you know, if you're looking for particular content within that node and you need to get there quickly, you know, AI can enable that.
100%. And not only that, but safely. Mm-hmm. So if you have, for example, a node that you want to access externally, for example, you want to give that node to certain pharmacies or partners that you want to kind of give them access to, whether you don't want them to necessarily be accessing your internal financial information, right? Or perhaps access sales information that is highly regulated and that they're not supposed to tap, right? For example.
So it's for the internal sales team so they can enable the partners. It's not necessarily for the partners.
Correct. So now that you've been able to segment these communities with these nodes, then you can pretty much do anything with that node. You could load it with the information that you want. You could layer it with AI, and everything is kind of dynamically being fed, but to, you know, just secured within, let's say, that the confines of that node. So, and all of it is being spun up very quickly, very easily, without any IT resources that you have to kind of pay for and stack. Just to give you an example.
And wait for, because IT resources are so constrained that that can really, you know, put it months away in terms of implementation.
100%. Like if, for example, you had, let's say the sales team comes to IT and says, hey guys, we'd like to really spin up some AI on our sales material. Mm-hmm. Well, what does IT have to do? They have to go and say, okay, we have to spin up an entire stack, from the operating systems all the way up, even though they might be virtual, you know, be it on the cloud, basically. They still have to spin it up. They have to license it. Then they have to load up all the documentation through some form of content management platform. And then from that, they have to install or API some brain like, you know, OpenAI or et cetera. They have to build the entire stack, basically. Yeah. Well, with the ecosystem architecture, they come to you, you say, oh, we need a node for sales. You say, okay, you could spin one up in 5 minutes, say, okay, which documents or libraries are you looking for? Oh, just the sales libraries and the collateral, et cetera. Those are the things that we're, okay, boom, you syndicate it out to them. That's another couple of minutes. And then AI, they've already been AI'd. And so automatically AI is turned on for them. So in less than, let's say, half an hour or an hour at most, they would have a node that could be custom look and feel with the documentation they need, with the knowledge they need, with the AI on top. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's any solutions that can deliver that kind of customizability, that kind of segmentation that delivers on security, privacy, compliance, all that kind of stuff as quickly and as efficiently as an ecosystem AI solution. Yeah. Frankly, I haven't seen it.
Me neither. And I think that's why, you know, we're seeing ecosystem trending so strong. You know, I had predicted earlier in the year, I've been familiar with your platform, as you know, for a number of years now. And, you know, it's really coming into its own. And I think AI has really accelerated that process. I mean, if I may, even to the extent that, you know, Adobe made a big commitment and announcement at their major event in Vegas last month about that ecosystem and how that was really going to accelerate support for enablement for their platinum and gold partners. And to me, that's a big milestone.
Huge. And it was, you know, it's public information now, so I can talk to it. So basically what they're doing is as part of their a partner program for their golds and platinums, they spun an ecosystem with two segments. One segment is for their golds, mm-hmm. and one segment is for their platinums. And each one of their gold and their platinum partners gets a node. And that node is going to contain all the knowledge that these partners need and that they would have accorded with Adobe to basically drive enablement, engagement, certification, and ultimately, revenue.
Yes.
This is a global first because mm-hmm. it's a global first in that, you know, part of the benefits that appear, if you go to the Adobe Partner Program, it's one of the benefits that appears. You know, right. It says enablement node on there, and because they realize the value that it presents to the partners.
That's
the
right.
First time those partners can really feel that they own something that's their own, as opposed to just sending their users to, you know, just the one-size-fits-all portal. Now they get a specific node that's custom for them, custom designed for them with the content they need that they've accorded on the product lines that they are actually interested in within Adobe. So it's really cool.
The efficiency factor. And, you know, it comes back to what's an ecosystem in the first place. You know, I find myself continuing to define it. Well, you know, it's an interdependent value creation network. So
I love that.
That's specific. And so this is exactly what you're describing. So, you know, Will, as we start to wrap up, and I could obviously talk about this much longer, but I do want to touch on analytics. You alluded to it earlier.
Yeah.
In fact, you and I are going to be participating on a panel later this month at the ASAP Global Alliance Summit with Claudia Kuzma of Protivity and Rob Spee from Beyond Trust to talk about how difficult it's been for organizations to have visibility from the HR skilling plans for employees all the way through to certification. So having that visibility in those metrics creates that huge revenue opportunity you alluded to earlier. And I know Tidwit has leveraged its own ecosystem, if you will, to solve for this. So, I mean, you know, this was a problem that people were bringing to you, and we've now seen a breakthrough that I think is really remarkable. And I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit.
100%. I mean, the traditional barrier has been metrics follows, you know, since the early days of the internet, back to the 90s, metrics follow content. Where content is, metrics reside, right? So whoever owns the content kind of has the metrics. And this is, you know, this is a huge barrier, particularly for, you know, partner ecosystems, because a partner needs to have access to those metrics, right? Because I love the word you just used, which is interdependency, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a partner, I can't be successful, you know, if I don't have visibility into what my people are doing with you, Mr. Other Partner, right? And so this wall that exists between, you know, where the knowledge sits and where the metrics sit has really created a lot of friction within channels. What ecosystems do is they basically break down those walls. What they say is, we can all be happy and we can all, you know, there's a lot of love out there to share, right? The content can continue sitting where it's sitting, but the metrics can flow securely and privately within the organizations that are participating in that ecosystem. And so that problem of having, you know, metrics kind of isolated, siloed, name it, you know, call it what you want, that goes away. And so now you have full visibility throughout the entire certification process. So you would know when, you know, when the skilling goals have been set, you would know, you know, when the campaigns have been launched. You would know when the learnings have started. You would know when, for example, vouchers have been distributed once the learning have been, you know, completed or learning paths have been done. Then you would know when the vouchers have been consumed, and then when the exams have been taken and when the certifications attained. And what an ecosystem can do, such as, for example, the Tidbit ecosystem platform, is it can provide end-to-end visibility at any one of these points in real time to both partners or any one of these partners, right? So if I'm on the provider side or what we call sell side, I'll see exactly what my partners are doing. I can see it in specific mode, compare it across partners, or see it in aggregate mode. Now, if I'm on the partner side, I can see what my people are doing with all the vendors that I'm partnered with. I can compare across vendors. I can see how that meets against goals. I can basically see what my funnel looks like. Am I heavy towards the latter end of certification, meaning, you know, 80% of my people are 80% or above, or am I heavy on the, you know, preliminary side, like in, you know, 90% of my people are only 10% ready. That will, you know, that will change the, you know, then I would increase frequency of the campaigns and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, so it makes for better business decisions in terms of the whole learning path.
Huge. And so we're giving the tools and, you know, basically all the tuning gauges, if you will, you know, to make it easier for not only the decision makers, but the managers and the line managers that are tasked with certain goals to meet, you know, to have visibility of the metrics and to be able to drive, you know, those goals. That is what the importance of metrics. Prior to that, there's so many gaps within this certification continuum, if you will, that most of the SIs and GSIs will tell you, you know, they'll put their, you know, finger up in the air and they'll say, well, this is how the wind is blowing now, but we don't really know much better than that. And and that shouldn't be like that.
No. And, you know, I've got to see this as a breakthrough as well for all of those folks who work in the L&D side of the business out there, because they're under great pressure, you know, to deliver these certifications and these specializations, whether it's an upstream or a downstream situation, and do it on a budget, you know, which is also hard to do.
You know, our new tagline now is in Tidwin, and this got picked up just a few weeks ago, is it takes an ecosystem, right? And really, you know, for a lot of these L&D folks, which we feel very strongly with, because they've had a thankless job for a long time, in the sense that they're put these massive tasks, but they're not given the tools to accomplish them. And so, you know, kind of the tagline of it takes an ecosystem. We're hoping it'll arm, you know, a lot of these L&D directors and managers and HR, you know, executives to go back to their executives, you know, their CXOs, and say, listen, guys, it's going to take an ecosystem for, you know, just like it takes a village to educate a child. In this case, what we're saying is really it takes an ecosystem to educate an organization.
That's great. I love it. It takes an ecosystem. Well, this has been incredible. We may have to do a follow-up, but in the meantime, we do have to wrap it up, but I always like to close with having some fun.
I'm up for that.
So I just want you to cast a broad, you know, mental net here and perhaps share with us what innovation would you most like to see gain adoption? And it could be anything that you can imagine.
Well, you know, you said it in your intro, which is in my free time, I do a lot of traveling, I do some sports, but I do a lot of writing too. And I wrote a novel, believe it or not, which is not something that, you know, a typical CEO would have time with, but I did. And it's a sci-fi a novel that looked at, you know, my small homeland where I come from, which is Lebanon. And projects it like 100 years forward. I didn't really specify a specific date. And it was just because it's relatively a backward place compared to the United States and some other, you know, advanced economies, et cetera. But I imagined, you know, how the world would be and how technology would change such a place, right? And it could apply to any other place in the world. And one of the technologies that I really, really kind of imagined is this kind of your ability to live in a world which just seems kind of real, but it isn't, right? And which would, you know, help do a lot more interpersonal engagement and things like that. And so if you're unable to live with people that you love, that, you know, either your kids or your grandkids or something like this, could you really be in a virtual world that, you know, kind of, if you can't do it physically, that at least allows you to do it virtually? And that was part of the imagination that I had. And the other part that by the way, I went the other day really briefly to an Apple store, and I experienced their Vision Pro. It like almost brought a tear, because it was so real, right? It's so real. And to think that this is happening in 2024, like, how's it going to be in 50 years, right? When maybe you and I are no longer around, but how's it going to be? It's going to be absolutely fascinating in this kind of virtualization of these worlds that could exist. The other thing that's a little bit more immediate, perhaps, that I think would be a lot of fun, maybe even much more so, is having, you know, robot assistants. Like, I can imagine in like 5 to 10 years, like, I would have a robot at home that I would come to and, you know, either kick a ball around with, or, you know, because my kid is now, you know, he's out in the workforce and he has his own, you know, time to spend, et cetera, or that a robot that, you know, can do chores and things like this. I think that's a fascinating thing, and probably it'll be a lot of fun. Maybe some people might find it threatening, but to me, you know, I kind of find it a lot of fun. Maybe that's the nerdy part of me talking. I don't know.
No, Will, I get it. I'm a bit of a nerd myself, and I actually love the fact that in addition to being an innovative tech leader, you're also a sci-fi writer. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So, for our listeners, if you want to know more about the Tidwit platform and how AI is transforming training, enablement, and certification, please reach out to Will in the links provided. And thanks for being with us today. Don't forget to subscribe at iTunes to get updates on new episodes. You'll also find us at www.soundcloud.com, Culture of Innovation, and be sure to check us out at www.ridgeinnovative.com. Have a breakthrough day, and we'll see you next time.